Good morning, colleagues, honorable members. Let's start the meeting. I know we are way delayed. Our meeting was scheduled to start at 9 o'clock. We are almost around 25 past 9. And I understand some of the colleagues were mistaken by the buildings, others being in the other side of the building. Welcome, colleagues, and thank you very much for attending. Firstly, let me just tell an apology of the co-chairperson who's not here, because I was trying to get hold of him. I just see he sent me an SMS that he has been called to a meeting, another meeting urgently of the WIPARI in the NCOP. I'm not so sure what's happening, but he will join us as we proceed. Members in front of us, I'm trying to what happened to my daughter? Just thing of moving. In front of us, the agenda is opening and welcome by co-chairperson's apologies. Consideration of draft minutes dated 11 April. Matters arising from adopted minutes. Discussion on the approach to be followed during interviews. Consideration of revised program of the committee. And then closing remarks. We are hoping to finish by 11 o'clock. I don't know if there's any other thing that members would want us to talk about, but that's the agenda. Shall we proceed, colleagues, in that light? Yeah. Okay. Shall we receive apologies?
Okay. Thank you, Co-Chair. My apologies for leaving the meeting at 10.
Thanks, noted, Mama Max. Shall we receive apologies, Secretary?
There's an apology from Mr. T.A. Mashamati saying that he's not well.
Apologies that were read out. Shall we move to... I'm trying to find my documents in front of me, the movement of my chair from where I was sitting. I think you have left my minutes where I was sitting. Maybe if I can have another copy document with the minutes. Honorable members, maybe just to highlight firstly, that we had agreed initially. We're going to release, Jaren has got another meeting, so the, remember as we were introduced the first day, we have three secretaries that support us. So so that members don't think that he's just walking out. We quickly called him for something, and he's going to another meeting that he's sitting at. Firstly, just to say, members, we had anticipated that we'll have interviews Monday and Tuesday. Which were going to overlap to Wednesday. Just to highlight that unfortunately we couldn't. Firstly, we are outstanding the report from the security cluster or security people for the screening. And secondly, there are letters of objections to the process that we have received that we needed to deal with. Before we can see ourselves proceeding with the interviews. And we thought that it's appropriate when a program is altered and a process is not followed accordingly. We call the meeting to be able to deal with this. And I think I'll talk to it later when we talk about consideration of the revised program. But I thought, let me just highlight this while we are going to go through the minutes of our last meeting so that we can adopt those minutes as a true reflection. I'm not so sure if members, I know they were sent through electronically, and I take it the minutes were read, and we'll go for corrections. Unfortunately, there isn't page numbered, but I'm going to guide us in terms of the first heading at the top. First is on the draft minutes of proceedings, that page, where it's got our names. Any corrections?
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Miss M. L. Mushoti, not Mr. M. C. Mushoti. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Honorable Nyambi.
Thanks, Chair. I was part of that meeting, but my name is not here. And if you go through the minutes, you'll see that I was even participating, whilst I'm not part of those that were present.
Thank you, Honorable Nyambi. Honorable Member.
Yes. it is the same spelling error. Delete G, and Mlenzana.
Thank you, Honorable Mlenzana. Any other correction on page one? Those corrections are noted. Page two, any corrections, Honorable Member? Page three, any corrections, Honorable Members? Page four. Page five. Shall I move for the adoption of the minutes, Honorable Member? Honorable Member. Seconda, Honorable Makubele. Matters arising from the minutes. There was an issue about the public servants. And I'm going to read Public Service Amendment Act 2007, number 30 of 2007, on substitution of Section 30, it's on page 44 of the Act, a subsection of the 30 of Act promulgated under Proclamation 103 of 1994 as amended by Section 25 of Act 47 of 1997, subsection 26. The following section is hereby substituted for Section 30 of the Principal Act, other remunerative work by employees. No employee shall perform or engage himself or herself to perform remunerative work outside his or her employment in the relevant department, except with the written permission of the executive authority of the department. For the purpose of the subsection, the executive authority shall at least take into account whether or not the outside work could reasonably be expected to interfere with or impede the effective and efficient performance of the employee functions in the department or constitute a contravention of the code of conduct contemplated in Section 41, Subsection 1, The executive authority shall decide whether or not to grant permission contemplated in Subsection 1 within 30 days after the receipt of the request from the employee in question. If the executive authority fails to make a decision within 30 days period, it would be deemed that such permission was given. This is in response to the question whether public servants can be members of the board. Honorable members, that's why I read this clause. We had requested that the committee go and look at this matter. So it's very clear that they shall do that at the permission. They must seek permission to serve as in the board, and it must must be granted for them to participate. So I think where it might be a challenge is that for a person who applies to be a board member, when do they seek permission? After being appointed or before being appointed? Because it's not very clear here. And it's something that maybe we can reflect on. Honor, I've noted Honorable Mlenzana and Honorable Makube.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm listening to your Chairperson reading this clause. I am thinking I don't have to go and dig this thing. If we could link this with the NYDA Act. My interest now is on the definition of the remunerative work in terms now of the board member. And hence I would say, maybe perhaps we could say, let's dig a little deeper, because my understanding would be you would have out of the ultimate would be members, the seven of them. Some would be appointed by the president to be full-time running the office, and the other would not be full-time, and as such would be attending meetings as and at when meetings are convened for a particular purpose. And now then, would you call that, if it's an out-of-pocket expense, a remunerative work? I'm thinking aloud, Chairperson. I'm just thinking aloud. I'm throwing this. Thank you.
Honorable Makubelo. Honorable Nyambiulfo.
Thanks, sir. My view would be that it should not necessarily be for us here to engage on the matter. It should be for those who happen to be in such positions, who must then link up with their own authorities or bosses there, indicating that they are in this kind of a situation. Those departments concerned will then engage on whether this other or extra duties will be remunerative, will interfere with their job or whatever, and take a decision to grant or not to grant. Our chair should be that once we have picked up that, as we have done, we could then sensitize the relevant department or those individuals to say, by the way, in terms of the provisions of the Act, you are required to do the following before you could serve. So once their departments take are not in the affirmative, then it means they can't serve. It may mean that probably the same task will come back to us, or there will be ways in which we can handle it. But for now, it will be very difficult for us to now want to say it will be remunerative, it will interfere, it will not interfere, therefore it will probably be granted or not, until granted by those departments who will look at the legal implications and all whatever it governs them or informs them to take a particular decision and advise such ministers or whoever involved. Thanks.
Honorable Nyambi.
Thanks, Chair. I don't want to spoil the point that has been said by Honorable Makubela. I'm in line with it. I'm supporting it. But I want to just raise what I highlighted in our last meeting, Chair, that in some of the things like this, it will be in order in all our meetings to have a person as this ad hoc committee who's providing that legal assistance, because I was worried when Honorable Mlenzane was trying to interpret this thing and in a very wrong way. And yeah, but if we have that legal assistance in all our meetings, it will be simple, because that person will just do the clarification, because definitely it's remunerative work, but Honorable Makubela has covered me. I'm supporting.
Okay, Honorable. Yeah.
I don't want to get, I think I agree with my colleagues, all of them, on the approach. But I want only two things to raise. That at the back of our mind, in interpreting all these things, we must also understand that the person who is inviting these people will be the person to national beauty. The issue of national beauty we must not underestimate, because the president invites South Africans to perform national duty. It's not just any other office that would be inviting. The president of the republic would be inviting people to national duty. And I would also request that, as we're interviewing these people, yourself as co-chair, you should always bring to the attention of the candidates this aspect of the law, but without undermining the fact that the president is inviting people to national duty.
Yeah. No, thanks, colleagues, for the comments. I think, Honorable Mbak, the president can't undermine the law.
Yeah.
As much as he can invite people to national duty, it must be within the ambit of the law, as the custodian of the law in the country. So I think we are very clear. Our responsibility, I think, is correct in that mood. But it's important for us to create, as members of the committee, to us raised. It's appropriate. We've got interpretation. And I think, Mr. Mkizi, you are here hearing there are times where we battle with interpretations, and it would, if possible, advisable to for us to have, so that we don't create legal battles. And get Parliament challenged in the process. So would appreciate to have such support. I think we are not meeting quite regularly, but on some of these things, on this type of meetings, so that we are able to assist to be assisted. So we'll definitely alert the candidates, those who are in public service, because I think as well we'll have just to alert them that there is a requirement by the law to serve. To make sure that they have a sufficient routine so that it's not even challenged, because interpretation as well, we might try and do it differently and somebody else might say something. So we are closed on this matter. I picked up, and I'll allow members to come back to another matter if there's any other matters arising. The second matter arising was on, which I think I should report on the publication of names, which was done. The report was 80 seats, but further to that, the report appeared in newspapers. I picked up the two, and Jaron and Mr. Mkizu will assist me. I picked up two on Friday, Mail and Guardian, which was there, and Sunday. By the time we sent out, we were still thinking that we are proceeding with interviews. So I noticed that the Mail and Guardian was able to remove the date of the interviews. But when I checked the Sunday Times, they were not able to remove. But we were cautioned as chairpersons that that technicality might happen, because newspapers have their way of functioning. We had requested them, they must just try and remove the date of the interview, but everything else remains. Unfortunately for the Sunday Times, that did not happen. But communication to the candidates was done. To inform them that the interviews are not happening this week, and that we'll communicate with them on the dates of the interviews, noting even Parliament's program and all those things. So I thought, let me just report on that one. We are still outstanding the report from the security class. I've not received it. And I checked with the co-chairperson, we've not received that. But the list of names and the ID numbers were sent for screening purposes. So as soon as we receive it as well, we'll communicate. So those are the matters arising, and I thought, let me just report to the committee. I don't know if members would want to reflect to what I've raised. I don't see any hands will pass there. Mamaka.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, there were candidates that didn't submit their CVs. What happened to those candidates?
shortlisting. There were candidates that were supposed to submit their documents. I don't know whether they have submitted.
Just to correct, it was qualifications, ma'am. They had submitted CVs. They did not submit qualifications. I remember in the meeting, yes, if I'm incorrect, we had agreed that we'll advise them to submit. But because the advert was very clear as well to the candidates, when they come for interviews, they are expected to bring original copies. We thought it not to be a crisis, because when we bring them to the interviews, they would bring their copies. But others would say, we have sent, they are bouncing through emails and faxes. But we thought, let's rather give them the space to bring hard copies. When they come to the interviews, we can make copies and then of those qualifications. Any other matter, members? Babu's concern.
Thank you. Let me start by apologizing for arriving late because of a transport, and I arrived very late in the evening here yesterday because of my workload. Chair, I don't know whether we're still going to deal with this other criticism. That
no, we're still on minutes and matters arising.
No. It's fine.
So we're done with the minutes and matters arising. Shall we move to the next item, which is discussion on the approach to be followed for the interviews? Members, just to start, I think the issue that is raised, firstly, when concluding the issue of shortlisted, and as we prepare for the interviews, there are letters that we have received, which we have requested that the copies must be made available for you. The first letter comes from, I'm not so sure whether this is Pastor Elrich Oliphant, because it's P-A-S-T. So I'm assuming it's Pastor Elrich Oliphant, questioning the non-inclusion of the colors in the 23 shortlisted names, and requesting that it be addressed, that we can have Indians and whites who are less in percentage in the country compared to the whites. There's another one from Mr. Martin Botha, colored man from Gales River, as well raising concern to say in the 23 names, of which 20 are ethnic black, 2 are Indian, and 1 is white. And in terms of the demographics, constitution, race, and our classification, colored people are also black. How can Parliament have the motto of help us to make democracy work? Is the democracy only applicable to ethnic black? And is hoping they say that the shortlist is not acceptable. That's the second one, that we do not have the way we have done the shortlisting. And then the other one is from the Khoisan Council. I'm not going to try and pronounce that word before the Khoisan Council, with concern that the shortlisted 23 names do not have anyone from the Khoisan community, but took the liberty to include a CV of a person that they deem to be a Khoisan, Nesta Swart, which the CV did not come to us prior to the closing date. So I thought, let me bring this matters to the attention of the committee. We need to respond, honorable members, as parliament, because we are parliament of the people, we'll have to respond to them. Let me start with the Khoisan Council. One is to, and committee members, if I'm out of order, you will correct me, but I think the proposal here is to respond to the Khoisan Council and advise them that we can't take the CV, because the CV should have been sent prior to the deadline. This was advertised in national newspapers, and a deadline was put which was not met, and unfortunately the candidate can't be met. I think that's one. But secondly, in terms of Khoisan people, from one sitting it will be difficult to determine who's Khoisan. And I think that the law, when it said we must be considerate on demographics and geographical spread, it will be difficult to say, no, we must include all racial groups, unless if I'm incorrect, comrades. Sorry, honorable members. The issue is that even when you look at the past board members, you did not have all the race represented. But the notion, and we take advantage of that, the notion of representation is there. We agree with it. But we can't go and want to say, oh, because now you are saying the Khoisan people, then you must go and find another one who will say, no, you must have religious sector, you must have, then we are opening ourselves up to, then you must have a huge board where you are able to meet all these other things that are raised. So I'm just opening members for specifically the Khoisan letter, if there are any comments, so that we are in agreement on how to approach it. I note Honorable Makubela, Honorable Nyambi, Honorable Skofan.
Chair, I think our response will have to take several aspects into consideration. The first is the one you have indicated now, dealing with the process, that this is how the process unfolded. Unfortunately, we are at this level now, and somewhat that missed the boat. But the second aspect, Chair, will be that as this ad hoc committee and Parliament generally, they have nothing against the Khoisan people, nor any other grouping in the country that deal with issues of young people and who could contribute to the development and transformation of our country. It's just unfortunate that we are in this particular fix for now. You know. So we must be able to clarify that point. However, call upon them to participate in matters of NYDA without necessarily having been on the board. It does not mean that you can only play a major role if you are on the board. Granted, when you are on the board, you are part of decision making, and it's easy to influence programs. But we must still extend that invite so that they find it easy to champion their own interest towards the board so that they are taken into consideration. I thought those two additional aspects will be very useful in how we proceed with them. It's unfortunate I see here they intend going for press conferences and so on to mobilize the country around their issues and so on and so on. But we may need to find ways of getting them to understand why we are in this particular situation. If it means later on they can even be met, as co-chairpersons, you can even leave the delegation and meet with them. But for now, the process will proceed, unfortunately, without them.
Honorable Nyambi, thanks.
It's an addition, Chairperson, that the response must be a little bit detailed in dealing with the process. And the second point is that they must maybe come to an understanding of learning that people are not going to be defined in terms of surname, because reading a surname of a person is not telling whether a person is colored or black, and that has to be put in black and white. Because to see a surname that is saying, let me use Chefuta as an example, you'll assume that just because it's Chefuta, it means that person is ethnic black, only to find that that might not be even the case. So I'm a little bit worried that if ever we're not going to be very elaborate in our letter to cover all the aspects in dealing with the process, we might end up opening another challenge. So I'm putting it to this committee chair that the sooner we have a detailed response, we send it to them. But beyond that, give that indication that we didn't even mind to meet them to clarify whatever that might be a problem. And just because they've even given numbers, you can even give them the courtesy call to show them that they can still participate in the process. But to those that are trying that they are going to undermine the process, once we have explained that in detail, they will understand that there is no way, if ever we are going to allow people after closing date to have submissions, then you are compromising the entire process that you are trying to defend. But I don't see any letter that has got something that can make it impossible for us to go on with the process as it stands, Chair.
Honorable
thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm partly covered about your responses from yourself, Chair, and my two colleagues, Nyambi and Makovera. But I'm finding a way of how can we respond to this racist statement, because this is a racist statement, in fact. In your response, you must try to find a way to respond on this racist statement, because it's too dangerous to say, I am in Ndebele. There is no Ndebele shortlisted. Therefore, I must write a letter and say, Ndebele is not there. We are not dealing with Ndebele. We are not dealing with Zulus. We are not dealing with colors here. We are dealing with the representatives of NYDA. I should think you need to, but phrase it correctly so that it cannot make them to be so much provoked, you see. But really, I must say, we must discourage this thing. If there is such tendencies in this country, then we're going nowhere. We're in the democratic process. The democratic process must unfold without any interference and without anyone cautioning in terms of racism and whatever. I should think this statement, it hurt me a lot, Chair. Thank you.
There are two hands now. Honorable Mbanga.
Yeah, the only advice I will also give to you, Chair, when you respond to this, I think honorable members have been able to give a framework. But I think your legal team should assist in relation to how you structure in relation to the law and respond to this. Because we might be taken, this might be challenged. The principles I agree, but you must be held by a legal department. And you must not remember that that this process does not end with us. The report will go to the president. Yeah. Whatever you'll be communicating, you must also reflect possibly that. Therefore, that's what I want to suggest on this.
Honorable Smith?
Chair, I'm covered by the legal aspect of that. Thanks.
Okay. There's like the issues that have been raised, I think, critical for us to respond, to try and meet with them, but make sure that our response has a legal opinion on it, so that it does not open us up for more legal challenges. Honorable Makubele, you wanted to say something?
I think the other problem may be that people mistaken the advent, the publication of the shortlist as if those are the only applicants. You know, I'm just concerned that she may not be getting that. Yeah, well, perhaps it's useful as well. I did not mean to interrupt, I just did not want to proceed with a view that you're hearing me when you're not. Not fine. Chair, all I'm saying is that it may be that people could not mistaken the publication of the names shortlisted as if those are applicants. You know, you may find that if you were to go to the 96 or so number of applicants, almost everybody has applied from all those. You know, it may not mean that because they know this one and they wanted to advance this name, then they are not necessarily represented. At the same time, It does not mean that once you have applied, you are guaranteed for shortlisting. You know, there are many things that will be considered and so on and so on, ultimately people being there. Well, we do not even look at the age of this person and so on, I've not checked them. But I'm saying we had a particular criteria which cut people out. It's possible you may bring a name which by some criteria the name falls out of the category, and therefore you can't condemn the ad hoc committee later to say you have not taken into consideration the following people. So that becomes key, Chair, so that we are not just taken to ransom, but you can as well go deeper into that and check who had applied and so on and so on, and clarify that yes, we did receive from all quarters, but then ultimately this is the shortlist based on a particular criteria. No, thanks.
Thanks, Honorable Makula. Honorable Smith? Okay. So we are passing on the matter. We'll keep you updated and posted if there's anything. The only challenge, I think, is something that as members of the legislature we'll have to look at, but the legislation says to us we must publish. It doesn't tell us after publishing what we must do. That's why I'm just thinking. But one of the reasons, are you expected to say you wait to do what? But it's something that I'm just flagging that later, when dealing with the Act itself, if we are to amend some of the things that we need to look at, are this one. Shall we move to the next item? So, and I'm checking that the same principle that we spoke about on the letter for the Khoisan is the same principle that applies to, because I could see other members were speaking into the colored request. Colored from Honorable Pastor Elridge Oliphant and from Martin Botha. Shall I conclude that it's the same principle?
Yes.
Or is it a different view?
Same.
Okay. Honorable Lenzan.
But just on this other one, by Martin Botha, I'm not opening a discussion, but just for noting that one may have to, not necessarily here and now, but check if this isn't part. I'm running short of a better word other than blackmailing the committee. Persuade, because one may assume that you are dealing here with people who do not understand, but they thoroughly understand. They know that this is a shortlist and ultimately a product. So you see yourselves now blackmailed into disregarding quality and become sentimental. I'm just throwing this, particularly with regards to this one. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Mlenzan. Any other comments from you, Honorable Members? On that note, we'll close on the matter of the lectures and move straight to the approach to the following during, to be followed during discussions. I'm going to request, because this is a discussion that we are going to take for how we are going to discuss, I'm going to request anyone who's not a member of the committee to excuse us, because this is a very closed matter. We can't afford to plan for interviews with outsiders, because otherwise the plan does not work. You have interviews that happens and people already know how you're going to interview them. It will not assist us.